Today's daf is Shabbos Daf Tes, and we are 17 lines from the bottom of Daf Ches Amid Beis Amar Mar. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Sara Alisa. So the Gemara is continuing to discuss the Braisa, the intense Braisa, on Daf Vav Amid Aleph, which discussed the Dalid Rishuyos L'Shabbos. Rishos HaYochid, Rishos HaRabim, Carmelis, and a Mokoim Pitor. At the very end of the Braisa, the Gemara said, Adam oimed alo eskupa. A person can stand on the threshold. So a threshold is a little platform that was either in the front of one's house or in the front of a mavui, as we're going to see in the course of the Gemara. But the point is that the Gemara says a person can stand on this eskupa. Noitel mi balabayas, he could take something from the balabayas, venoisenloi, he can give something to the balabayas. Noitel mi yoni, he could take something from the yoni, venoisenloi, and he can give something to the yoni. In other words, the eskupa is treated neither like a rishos hayochid or like a rishos harabim. It's not a rishos hayochid, so he can exchange things back and forth with the yoni, who's standing in the rishos harabim. It's not a rishos harabim, so he could exchange, he could take, and can give to the balabayas who's staying in the rishos hayochid. The price has just said one caveat, ubelvad, however, whoever shall ye tell me balabayas venoisan laani, the one thing he shouldn't do is he shouldn't be a go-between, he shouldn't be a middleman between the ani and the balabayas. Rashi says that this idea that he shouldn't be the middleman between the ani and the balabayas is a dindirabanan, it's a gzeira. It's because even though you're really not doing anything wrong, but as far as the spirit of the law itzah goes, that's not something you should do. And that's why the Braisa concludes and says, v'imnatal v'nasan shloshtam p'turim. In the event that one would do that, they would all be potter, because we're not dealing with any issa deraisa. All we're dealing with is an issa derabanan. Either way, the Braisa concluded with another shita. That's the shita of Acherim. But first, the Gemara is going to discuss the first part of the Braisa. So says the Gemara, says the Gemara, what is the exact status of this eskupa? Meaning, it seems to be neither a Rishos HaYachid or a Rishos HaRabim. So we have to understand the mitzias, the logistics of it a little bit better. Ilema eskupas Rishos HaRabim, is this eskupa technically like a Rishos HaRabim? Then noitom mi balabayas, could he take from the balabayas? Hamapik mishos HaYachid Rishos HaYabim. That's how it's so. Elo eskupas Rishos HaYachid. Maybe the eskupa was part of the Rishos HaYachid. Noitom anani, hakama ayel mishos HaRabim Rishos HaYachid. Elo eskupas Carmelis. Maybe it was a Carmelis. But noito v'noison lekatchila, how could you give or take lekatchila? Even though there's no issa deraisa, soif soif isura miyo isa. So if it has the physical dimensions of Rishos HaYachid, how you let a exchange with the ani. If it has the physical dimensions of Rishos HaRabim, how you let exchange with the balabais. And if it has the physical dimensions of a Carmelis, even though it's true, granted there's no isura deraisa taking place, but wouldn't there be a problem of, at the very least, an issa derabanan, and from the price it sounds like you could do whatever you want. Ella says, the Gemara, skupa makom tor. You have to say that this is skupa had the physical dimensions of a makom tor. We're not going to chazer over what the dimensions of a Rishos HaYochid are, Rishos HaRabim, Carmelis, a makom tor, stating that, Ayin Rashi. But the point is that it has the dimensions of a makom tor, kigoyin, for example, the lesbe, dalet al dalet. It wasn't four tvachim by four tvachim. So if it's not dalet al dalet, it's a makom tor. So midei raisa, and even midei rabbanon, this makom has no significance. So there's no wisdom day raisa, there's no wisdom rabbanon either. One of the things, one of the many, many, many things that Rav Dimi reported back when he came from Eretz Yisrael, back to Babel, the name Rabbi Yochanan, was makom she'im by dalet al dalet tvachim mutar l'vnei rishus hayochid ulevnei rishus harabim l'kasev olav. The bnei rishus hayochid can use it, the bnei rishus harabim can use it, because it's not a rishus, it's not even a karmelis. Ubavad shalei achlifu. The only thing you shouldn't do is if someone from the rishus hayochid wants to pass something over to someone from the rishus harabim, he shouldn't use this eskupa, he shouldn't use this makom tor as a go-between, because again, even though he's not violating Chil Shabbos, but the spirit of the law he is, and as a result, this is not something he should do. Says the Gemara, so we saw this in the Braisa and the Vav and Aleph. Rav Dimi reported this in the name of Rabbi Yochanan as well, that it's not okay, lekatchila, to transfer something from a Rishos HaYochet to a Rishos HaRabim via a Makom Ptur. That's not something that you're supposed to do. So even though, again, you're not violating anything, not Midday Reis and not Midday Rabbanu, but there's a spirit of the law issue. And as a result, that's not something that you're supposed to do. V'imnata v'nasan shloshtam paturim. Of course, but the Avid, if you did it, you weren't over Nisa Day Reis. It says, this would seem to be a Tufta the Ravah. Amar Ravah, Ravah said, Amar Chayfetz mitchilas dalar l'soif dalar b'shus HaRabim. If somebody carried dalar amas b'shus HaRabim, savaras dalar amas b'shus HaRabim, is a Nisa Day Reis. We spoke out some Lundis last week that said that not only is it an Nisa Day Raisa, but it's a tolda of because it's an idea that a person's koin is dalet amis, a chayfetz has its dalet amis as well. And if you remove an object from its dalet amis, or the halacha is, it's considered on some level a haitzamir shos l'rishos. So said Rava, if someone's maver a chayfetz, mitchilas dalet, l'saif dalet, meaning he did an akira, he moved a dalet amis, and then he did a hanacha. Here's the chiddush, afal pisha he even if when you transferred it, you lifted it above your head, meaning it was 10 tfachim above ground, so you would think that if it was 10 tfachim above ground, maybe you shouldn't be chayev. Why? Because 10 tfachim above the ground in a Rishos HaRabim is considered a Makom Ptur. It's not considered a Rishos HaRabim. So you would think that maybe the Havar itself didn't take place in a Rishos HaRabim. If that's the case, it shouldn't be Chayiv. You did an Akir in a Rishos HaRabim. You did Anach in a Rishos HaRabim. You moved it 4 tfachim. But when you moved it, you were moving it in the Aver of the Rishos HaRabim, above 10 tfachim from the airspace. And if that's the case, maybe that's not considered Havar Estal Ramas. Now, what did Rava say? Rava said, you're going to be chayiv. What's the kasha? The kasha is, why are you chayiv? L'chura, you transferred it, dalet amis, there was a proper akira, there was a proper hanacha, but it went through a makom patur. Because dalet amis, above yud tfachim in a Rishos HaRabim, is the equivalent of a makom ptur. It's the equivalent of a makom that's 3 tfachim tall, that's gimel al gimel in a Rishos HaRabim, which is the same makom ptur. So you see that Rava holds that if you do a havara, even if it goes through a makom ptur, so you're going to be chayv. So what's the difference if somebody takes an object from Rishos HaYochet to Rishos HaRabim and goes derech the iskupa, which is a makom ptur? That loch is yapater. It's only a derabbanan, spirit of the law type of issue. Why? Because even though you did havara, but it went through a makom ptur. So why is that different than what Rava said? Now Rava's an amoira. He seems to be going kineged a brisa. So the kasha is le matiavet tiyufta the Rava. The kasha is not in the brisa. The kasha is on Rava. How could Rava have said this halacha? L'chura, Rava's halacha seems to be contradicted by the brisa. And the Gemara says a chiddush. It's not clear what the svar is, but hasam loy nach hacha over here nach. You have to say that there's a difference. The difference is when a person carries Dalet Amis b'Rishos HaRabim, but when he carries it, it's l'mayla me'asara tfachim in the Rishos HaRabim, even though the item went through the Makom Ptur, but there was never a hanocha in the Makom Ptur. So being that there was never a hanocha in the Makom Ptur, the fact that it went through the Makom Ptur is neither here nor there. The Akira was from a Makom of Chiyuv, the Akira was in the Rishos HaRabim, the hanocha was in the Makom Chiyuv, it was in the Rishos HaRabim, it went the Dalet Amis that it has to go in order for it to be considered Avara. It just so happens it went in the airspace. But nothing happened in the airspace from an Akira and an Anacha perspective. So the fact that it merely traveled through the airspace doesn't bother me. In this case, if a person's standing on the Eskupa and he picks it up in a Rishos HaYochid and then he puts it down in the Rishos HaRabim, the fact that he's standing in the Eskupa, which is the Makom Ptur, it's considered as if there was a Hanacha on the Makom Ptur. I mean that it's considered as if there was a hanacha on the Makom Ptur, so that's mafsik, the akira that was in the Rishos HaYochin, and the hanacha that was in the Rishos HaRabim, or vice versa, and that's why it's not going to be considered oitzah. Meaning, when you carry Dalet Amis, Rishos HaRabim, there was never a hanacha in the Makom Ptur. Over here, there was a hanacha in the Makom Ptur. So the hanacha in the Makom Ptur is what knocks it out. Now, the reason it's tzarech bir is because where was the hanacha in the Makom Ptur? Where was the hanacha? Now, if the case was where the Balabayas gave it to the middleman and then the middleman gave it to the Ani, then obviously there was no one person that did Akira and Anach, that wouldn't be the issue. We're talking about where the person who's standing in the Eskupa picked it up in one Rishos, he put it down in the other Rishos. Did an Akira in one, he did a Anach in the other. The fact that he's standing in the Makom Ptur, He's not mobile. Somehow we view a hanocha. The point is, the svara, the punchline is that in Rava's case there was never hanocha in the Makom Torah. In this case, it was hanocha in the Makom Torah, and that's what makes the difference. Either one less Gemara as it relates to this, and then we're gonna turn the page and go to a completely other topic. We can breathe again. A whole nother inyan that's gonna take us for the majority of Masechta. But either way, for now, the very end of the Braisa, after the Gemara mentioned this halacha regarding this skupa. So the Gemara mentioned another shita, the shita of Acherim. Acherim said that Iskupa is a little trickier than the Tanakama is leading on. And that is, Iskupa mishameshesh te'rishuyas. The Iskupa is sometimes a Rishus HaYachid and sometimes a Rishus HaRabim. What does it depend on? If the door is open, kilifnim, then we view it like a Rishus HaYachid. Pesach Nol, if the door is closed, kilochutz, then we treat it like a Rishus HaRabim. Vim hoysa iskupa gevaya asara urechav arba, and if the iskupa was 10 tfachim tall and it was 4 tfachim wide, then hareza Rishus HaAtzma, it's going to be a Rishus HaAtzma. Either way, that was the end of the Braisa on Davava Meralev. Zok digemar. Achere moimrim, askupa mishamesha shtei rishuyos. Bezmacha, pesach pesuach lefnit. Pesach no, kile chutz. Now, it's not clear in the Gemara is about to ask a question, and from the Gemara itself, it's not clear what the basis of the question is. But Rashi explains, and it'll become a little bit more clear during the course of the Gemara, and that is, the Gemara assumes right now that this askupa that Acherim were discussing was an askupa that was in the front of a mavui she'enoy mefulish. So in order to understand a mavui she'enoy mefulish, this is Erevin 101. Once upon a time, people lived in cul-de-sacs. So you would have many houses that would open up to a common chatzah. The chatzah was surrounded by walls. It was a bona fide Rishus HaYachid as it relates to Hilchas Shabbos and Hilchas Erevin. It was surrounded by walls. It's a big open area. It doesn't meet any of the criteria of a Rishus HaRabim or a Carmelis. It's not the Yam. It's not an open field. It was a place, a private residence that maybe 100 families lived there, whatever it is. But it was closed off by chatzeres. Often these chatzeres themselves would open up into a mavoi where other chatzeres open to as well. So many houses open into a chatzer, and then you have many chatzeres that open up into the same mavoi. That mavoi was sometimes open on two sides. It was sometimes open on one side. It had to be open on one side because you had to get from the mavoi to the Rishus HaRabim in some way. So sometimes it was open on two sides, meaning you can get into the Rishus HaRabim from one side of the mavoi, you can get in from the other side of the mavoi. Sometimes it was only opened up on one side. From a halachic standpoint, it makes a very big difference. But we're discussing a mavoi that was only open on one side. It's closed off on three sides, it's open on one side. Midday Reis, it's a Rishus HaYachid. So even though there's so many houses and there's chatzeres and there's maybe hundreds of people that live there, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it's still considered Rishus HaYachid. It doesn't meet the criteria of a Rishus HaRabim. So it's considered La Halacha Rishus HaYachid. However, looks a little like a Rishus HaRabim, but looks a little like a Carmelis. So the Chacham said, you want to carry there, that's fine. But at the same time, you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to make a hecker to show the world that this is not a regular Rishus HaRabim. So what do? You have two options. Either you could make what's called a lechi, or you can place what's called a kaira. A lechi is just a beam. It's a very fancy way. It's an Erevin term for a piece of wood. It's a beam. They would put it at the entranceway of the mavoi, and if you put the lechi on the entranceway of the mavoi, that's a hecker that this isn't a regular Rishus HaRabim, that this is a closed off area, and once you do that, that's your fourth wall, so to speak, and as a result, you're allowed to carry there. Another thing they would do is they would place a kaira. A kaira is a crossbeam that would go on top of the entranceway to the mavoi. Lechi and kaira are both ways of creating this derabanan fourth wall that serves merely as a hecker, so that people realize that this is not a regular Rishus HaRabim. Once you do that, you can carry not only Midderaisa, which you're allowed to carry even without the Lechi of the Kaira, now you'll be able to carry Midderabanan as well. The assumption is that Acherim, who are discussing in a skupa, that sometimes has a din of Rishus HaYachid, sometimes has a din of Rishus HaRabim, what it depends on is whether or not the door is open or the door is closed, was discussing in a skupa to this mavoi. It was an eskupa to a mavoi. It wasn't just a threshold to a house. It wasn't a threshold to a chatzer. It was a threshold to a mavoi. It opens up to a mavoi where many, many people live. And what the Gemara is, or what Acherim seems to be saying is that if the door is open, then we view this eskupa as being part of the mavoi. If it's part of the mavoi, you're allowed to carry in the mavoi. You'd be allowed to carry on the eskupa as well. If it's closed, then you wouldn't view it as part of the Mavi, you'd view it as part of the Rosh Hashanah Rav, and the Mavi walks right into the Rosh Hashanah Rav, you're not allowed to carry Dal Ramas in the Rosh Hashanah Rav, you wouldn't be allowed to carry on the Eskupa either. That's seemingly what the Braisa says. Freik the Gemara Kasha, we'll speak out the Kasha outside first, that if that's the case, I have a little bit of a technical issue. And it's based less on Halacha, more on Metzias. The Metzias is the place that they used to place a Lechi on these Mavis is, so the... Let's assume that the entranceway to the Mavi was several tefachim thick, right? It's a thick entranceway. If you have a picture, it's easier to visualize it. But the walls or the entranceway to this Mavi is definitely going to be thick. The Mavi is just a thin piece of wood. So the Mavi usually didn't take up the entire thickness of the wall. It was very, very thin. Where did they place it? They would place it in the innermost part of the Mavi, closest to the Mavi. So that's where it would be. It was closer to the Mavi, not closer to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but rather it was closer to the Mavi. In Halacha, the wall that the Lechi creates is considered to be where the innermost part of the Lechi is. So it's the innermost part of the Lechi. So assuming that the Lechi is being placed closer to the Mavi, farther from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and the wall is considered the innermost part of the Lechi, so the wall is mamish by the entranceway of the Mavi. Which means if you're on the Eskupa, on the outside, you're not parallel to the Lechi. If you're not parallel to the Lechi, so the Gemara's Kasha is going to be that I don't understand, how should you be able to carry? Let the door be open from today till tomorrow. At the end of the day, it has a din of a Rishus HaYachid. You can treat it like a Rishus HaYachid. The whole Mavi is a Rishus HaYachid. But without a Lechi, you can't carry there. You're on the wrong side of the Lechi. The reason you're on the wrong side of the Lechi is because the Lechi was placed mamish right by the entranceway of the Mavi. This Eskupa was several tefachim deep. So, and the wall is considered the innermost part of it. So, Luchur, if you're on the Eskupa, how could you carry? If the Gemara of Afagaf the Lesley Lechi, you're allowed to carry even though there's no Lechi? Lechura, what do you mean there's no Lechi? I thought there is a Lechi. Yeah, but the Lechi doesn't work for the Eskupa, just based on the Metzias of the Lechi and the Halach of the Lechi. The Metzias of the Lechi is that it's right by the entranceway of the Mavoi. The Halach of the Lechi is that the Lechi's wall is considered the innermost part of the Lechi. Says the Gemara, that if you have this type of Eskupa, meaning the thickness of the Pesach itself, needs another Lechi in order for you to be able to carry there. What do you mean you need another Lechi? I thought the Lechi is always by the Teich HaPesach. But it's like we just said, it only works for what's inside of it. It doesn't work for what's on the outside of it. Maybe you'll tell me that it's talking about where the Eskupa wasn't down. It was a small Eskupa. I mean that it's a small Eskupa, it's bottled to the Mavoi. So over here, maybe it doesn't need another Lechi. Meaning maybe the only time Rab Chama Bar Gurya said that Eskupa, or the Toich of the Pesach, needs its own Lechi is if it's a Makim Chashuv. But maybe it's such a small area, it's bottled to the Mavoi, and being that the Mavoi has the Lechi, maybe this area has the Lechi as well. But the Gemara says it can't be for some Rab Chama Bar Gurya, Merav, Toich HaPesach, Chavu Bishayim Beidal Al Adar, Tzorch Lechal Atiroi. It doesn't matter how small it is, even if it's very, very small, still it needs its own Lechi. Amar Rav Yehuda, Merav, Hachab Eskupas Mavoi Yaskin. It says the Gemara here. We're talking about what the Maksha thought we were talking about, what we just spoke out. And that is we're dealing with the Eskupa of a Mavoi. Okay, so the question is, why if the door is closed, is it considered part of the Rosh Hashanah Yachid? L'chayre, at the end of the day, you shouldn't be able to carry there because you need a Lechi. So the Gemara says that we're dealing with a Mavoi that has an Eskupa and that was given not a Lechi for you to be able to carry there, but rather a koira. So it wasn't a Lechi, it wasn't a koira. Now what difference does it make if there's a Lechi or if there's a koira? It makes a difference. A, the metzias of the koira is different than the metzias of the Lechi, and B, the halacha of how a Lechi works and the halacha of the way the koira works is different. And the case was where it was chetzio mekoira, the chetzio she'ena mekoira. And Rashi speaks out, this is less than a kimta, more of a metzias. The metzias says that the koira had to be one tefach. That's how much it had to be. So usually if that's all it had to be, then that's probably what it was. People didn't go with Nimashur Sadim, make these Revisha Kairas. There's no reason to. This is what a Kaira is. So this is what a Kaira is going to be. What happened was the Eskupa was usually a lot wider than or longer than just a Tefach. So usually the Kaira would not cover the entire Eskupa. The point is, Vikeruyai Klape Pnim. The place that they would put the Kaira was always Klape Pnim. They would put it towards the entranceway of the Mavi. That's the Metzias where they used to put the Kaira. Okay, so what? Pesach Pasuach, if the door is open, Kilafnim. Then we look at the area that's underneath the Kaira, that part of the Eskupa, as if it's kilafnim, as if it's part of the mavoi, and therefore it's a rishus hayachid, you're allowed to carry there. Pesach nol, if however the door is closed, so then the kaira doesn't work for that area, kilachutz, and therefore we would treat it as if it's outside. So you're right, the case where it's mavur that you'd be able to carry in the eskupa as long as the door is open is not talking about whether it was a lechi. Because if there was a lechi, you would never be able to treat the eskupa as a rishus hayachid, because even if in din it's a rishus hayachid, but tzorach lechi achalatiroi, where's the other lechi? You don't seem to have another lechi. So you wouldn't be able to treat it like a rishus hayachid. Where's in a gay that you could treat as a rishus hayachid if what you had was not a lechi, what you had was a kaira, and as long as the door is open, so the kaira, which works to act as a fourth wall for the mavoi, can work for the eskupa as well, albeit the chelik of the eskupa that's underneath the kaira, and that's all Achera meant in the Braisa, when they said that if the door is open, you can treat it like rishus hayachid, they're referring to that part of the eskupa, which is underneath the kaira. If the door is closed, so now the eskupa is completely closed off of the rest of the mavoi. Once it's closed off in the rest of the mavoi, you wouldn't be able to carry the Rav Ashi. My Rav Ashi said a different thing. We're not dealing with the eskupa of a mavoi, a whole different akimta. But rather, what we're dealing over here is with an eskupa of a bayis, regular house. We're not dealing with a mavoi, but rather we're dealing with a house. Ukigoin shekera b'shtei kairos. The metzias was where the eskupa was covered, but it was covered with two kairos, she'ein bezur arba, ve'ein bezur arba. Each one was less than four tvachim, ve'ein bein zu lezur shloisha. But the distance, the gap between these two kairos was less than three tvachim. Now, if you have two beams that are lying next to each other and there's less than three tefachim in between, halacha says lavud, so we can look at it, it's one. But here's the chiddush. The chiddush is videlis ba'ensa. The metzias is that the door was in between. It was in the ear space. Again, if you have a picture, it's worth more than 1,000 words. So you have the door itself went right in between with these two kairos were. Okay, Pesach Basuach, if the door is open, tilafnim. Then you could look at the eskupa as being part of the house. The reason you could look at the eskupa as being part of the house is because the eskupa is going to be covered by the tikra, which makes it part of the rishus hayachid. So if it's covered by the tikra, you're going to be fine. What happens is, if Pesach is null, if the door is closed, then kilachotz. Because if the door is closed, then you're not underneath the tikra, and if you're not underneath the tikra, so then you're going to be part of the rishus rab. Now, why do we need this whole fancy case where you had two kairos and there's a hole in between? And why don't you just say there was a roof of some sorts, and if the door is open, then you're considered part, and if not, not. The reason is, it's based on another Erevin term, if you really want to go through the suga properly, and it's called ki tikra yoyrid v'soysim, which basically says that anytime you have a roof that's four tfachim, the halacha is, it creates an imaginary wall, and that blocks off the whole area. In other words, Rav Ashi couldn't just say that we're dealing with a regular skupas bayis, because he would have been bothered at the end of the day, even if the door is closed, if I'm underneath a roof that's four tfachim, then you should say, pitikra yoyrit v'soysim, I should be blocked off, and all of a sudden I have four walls. So chabanegin rishus hayachid. So it's for that reason Rav Ashi made an akimto. The akimto was where there was a ceiling, a tikra, that's four tefachim, but it's made up really of two kairos, and the two kairos have a gap in between. You have to come on to lavud. Here's the chiddush. The chiddush is that if the door is closed in between that area that's pachis migimel tefachim, even though it doesn't knock out the tikra, but it knocks out the lavud. You can't have two boards with space in between and a closed door in between that space and still say, lavud can't go through the door. That lavud's not going to be able to do. So if you had a regular tikra, it was a full tikra, four tefachim, even if there's a door in between, but it's a regular, legitimate tikra. So then anything that's underneath that tikra on the eskupa would be considered part of the rishus hayachid. Because even if it's not part of the house, you would have a pitikra yoyed v'soyser. But being that it's only considered a tikra with lavud, so then you could say that if there's a gap in between, you don't have lavud. The bottom line is, the end of the braisa was, if the eskupa itself was 10 tefachim tall and it was 4 tefachim wide, it's a rishus la'atzma. What does that mean? If it's 10 tefachim tall and it's 4 tefachim wide, it's a rishus hayachid. Then it's egin rishus hayachid. So yeli Rav Yisrael Ravdimi. Dom Rav Yisrael Ravdimi. Oy mehoi Rav Meir. Kol machim shatam oitzah shtei rishuyos, same rishus achas. Anytime you find two rishuyos that are inside one rishus. So you're in a rishus hayachid. And in a rishus hayachid, you have something that has the dimensions of another rishus hayachid. Kigoyin amud b'rishus hayachid. Gavoya asara v'rochav arba. So this is not in a rishus haravim. In a rishus hayochid, you have an amud that's 10 tefachim tall and it's 4 tefachim wide. Also the kasev olav. You're not allowed to carry. You're not even allowed to adjust your load on top of it. Gzeira mishum tel b'rishus haravim. Because even though you're in a rishus hayochid, to rishus hayochid. So what's the big deal? But it's a gzeira. Also, you may have the same situation in a rishus haravim, and then you'll be carrying from a rishus haravim to a rishus hayochid. So who said this? Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi said that Oimer Hayer Rameyer. Who's Rameyer? Acherim. Who's Acherim in the Brisa said if the skupa was Gavaya Asor Rechav Rabba, Harezer Rishos Latzma. Even if it's in a Rishos Hayochid, you look at it as a Rishos Latzma. That's Misayel, the Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi, who used to say this over in the name of Rameyer. Exhale. Zok the Mishnah Viter. Lo Yeshev Adam Lifnei Hasapor. So we mentioned at some point last week that Tosis asks Akasha that why does Masechta Shabbos begin with Yitzias HaShabbos? Why do we start with the halachas of Akira and Anocha and all this different lumdis of Dalet Ames and Tfachim and Avir and Carmelis and Rishus HaYochid? If anything, Tosis says, I think the right way to start this would be the same way Masechta's Psachim starts and the same way Masechta's Yuma starts. Psachim starts Ur Larbas, Boitkinas HaChamis. You start with the halachas of Erev Pesach, the night before Pesach, and you work your way in through the sugyas of Pesach. Masechta's Yuma starts makes a lot of sense. You start off 7 days before Yom Kippur because that's when the training period started for the Kohen Gadol. All the achanas that you have to make for the Kohen Gadol. Yeah, Masechta Shabbos starts with the Malach, not just the Malach, it's the 39th Malach. So Tosfos gave several terutzim. One of Tosfos' terutzim was, is that really the Masechta doesn't start on that base. So really, you want to know when the Masechta starts? It starts with the on Daf Yud Aleph Amar Aleph. The Mishnah over there discusses halachas of Erev Shabbos. And one of the halachas that the Mishnah discusses on Erev Shabbos is lo yetze achayit b'machtoy, that a tailor is not allowed to go outside with his, or any artisan, any professional is not allowed to walk around with his things that he uses for his fach on Erev Shabbos, because the sun might set and he might have it and he may inadvertently come to be over the malach of Eitzah. But Tosfos just added that being that Eitzah is a malach of grua, and people are going to say, well, what's the big deal? He's going to end up carrying. What's carrying? So we felt that we had to be mechazik that halach, so you can't just start on daf yud aleph from an aleph. You need a haktam. You need an intense haktam of sugis of Eitzah. I think at this point we all realize Eitzah is intense and it's serious and it shouldn't be taken lightly. So now we could start with Yetzei Achayit. But before the Yetzei Achayit B'machtoi, we have one other digression, and that is we're going to talk about halachas that are negeya Erev Shabbos when, like right Shkia time. So Bederech Agav. So this is like Agav Agav. So we're going to mention now another Mishnah that discusses halachas that are negeya Mincha time. Not Mincha Erev Shabbos necessarily, but these are halachas that are negeya Mincha every single day. Zok the Mishnah, very straightforward. The Yeshiv Adon Lefnei Hasapar, Samuch Mincha. Once it comes, Samuch Mincha, Samuch Rashi says, is defined as within a half hour. So a half hour before the Zman of Mincha, you're not allowed to go to the barber. Actually, unless you daven Mincha. If you daven Mincha, obviously that's fine. But if you didn't daven Mincha yet, and it's a half hour before the Zman, not the Soif Zman, the Tchila Zman of Mincha. So it's a half hour before the Tchila Zman of Mincha, you're ready now, let her go to the barber. Additionally, you can't go to a merchitz. You can't go to a tannery. That's where they used to process hides. V'loy lechol, you're not allowed to sit down to eat. V'loy ledin, if you're a dayan, you're not allowed to paskin a shaylo. V'im eschilu, let's say you started. So the halach is a mafsikin, you don't have to be mafsik. Tosfos says, im eschilu means, number one, if you started beheter, meaning let's say you started before, it was a half hour before the Zman of Mincha, or even if you started be'isr, it doesn't matter. Once you start already, even if you started be'isr, a mafsikin, you don't have to be mafsik. Mafsikin, likris, kriyishma. You do, however, have to be mafsik for kriyishma. The im mafsikin, letfila, you don't have to be mafsik letfila. What does this mean? So we'll see on Daf Yud Aleph from an Aleph. What would be the difference between Kriyishma? We don't know what it means yet. But what would be the difference, whatever it means, between Kriyishma and Tefillah? Kriyishma is Deiraisa. Tefillah is Derabbanan. It's Tefillah Derabbanan. I thought the Rambam Shita is it's Medeiraisa. Some Yetz Hashem, some Gishmakarate coming on Daf Yud Aleph. But for now, a very straightforward halacha. That once you're already Samach Venira to the Zman of Mincha, you're literally within a half hour from the Tchila Zman Mincha, not the Soif Zman. It's a tremendous chiddush. The tchila zman mincha, there's certain things already you're not allowed to do. The Mishnah gave a few examples. You're not allowed to go to the barber. You're not allowed to go to the merchitz. You can't walk into a bursiki. You can't eat. You can't paskin shaylas. Zok to Gemara. Hay samuch mincha. When we say samuch mincha, which mincha are we referring to? Are we referring to mincha gedoyla, or are we referring to mincha ketana? So we learned together the halachas of mincha gedoyla, mincha ketana, albeit briefly, in the beginning of Perek, Tfilas HaShachar, Mesechtes Brachas, Dav Chavovam and Beis. Mincha gedoyla is a half hour after Chatzos. So the day is divided into 24 hours, obviously. 12 hours of day, 12 hours of night. So Chatzos is the midway point, the six-hour marker of the day. A half hour after that, 6.5 hours into the day, Shoizmani is, but 6.5 hours into the day, that's called Mincha Gedoyla. Mincha Ketana is 3 hours after that. So it's not 6.5 hours into the day, it's 9.5 hours into the day. Now what's the methodology? What's the background to it? Why are there two Zmanim of Mincha, and why is 6.5 hours, one is 9.5 hours? It's related to the Talmud Shel Bein Arbaim. Every day in the Beis HaMikdash, they used to bring two Karbonos Oila. These were Oila Sibur. The whole Sibur had a chelik in them. They were paid for by the Machtzis HaShakel, Nyana D'Yoyma, and one was a Talmud, and they were both Karbonos Oila. One was born in the morning, and one was born in the afternoon. The Oilas Boiker was born in the morning, and the Talmud, the Oilas Bein Arbaim, that was born in the afternoon. Now, when was it brought? So the earliest time that you were allowed to bring it was 6.5 hours into the day. L'maisa, they didn't bring it at the earliest time. They used to wait a few hours until they brought it. They used to bring it 9.5 hours into the day. The reason is, because the Gemara says, Oleo Hashlim Kala Karbonis. Once you brought the Talmud Shel Bein Arbaim, you weren't allowed to bring another carbon. So it wasn't practical to bring the Talmud Shel Bein Arbaim so early in the day. You'd think, Zrizim Akdim and Lemitzvahs. But the problem is, it comes with an invoice. There's a flip side, because once you bring the Talmud Shel Bein Arbaim, that's it. The Talmud had to be the first carbon every morning, Ha'oila Oila Rishayna, and it had to be the last carbon every day, Oleo Hashlim Kala Karbonis. So once you brought the carbon Talmud, so B'mitzias, they used to bring it 9.5 hours into the day. So the two zmanim of mincha correlate to the two important zmanim as they relate to the carbon talmud. The talmud was able to be brought, the talmud shabbin arbaya, at the earliest time, 6.5 hours. That's what's known as mincha gedoyla. L'mitzias, they brought it 3 hours later, 9.5 hours into the day, and that's what's known as mincha ketana. Now, the reason one is called gedoyla and the other one is called ketana is mincha gedoyla is earlier, which means there's more time from mincha gedoyla until the sun sets. Mincha ketana is 3 hours later, which means there's less time from mincha ketana until the sun sets. Regardless, so we have halacha lo yeshev adam lifnei asapar samach lemincha, says the Gemara. You have to be more specific. Mincha, there's two minchas. There's mincha gedoyla, there's mincha ketana. Which mincha are we referring to? Hai samach lemincha. Ilei min mincha gedoyla. Are we referring to mincha gedoyla? My loy. Ha'ikashoy is by yom tuva. I don't understand. Mincha gedoyla, 12:30, so to speak, already. Assuming chatzos is 12 o'clock. So 12:30 already, or 12 o'clock, samach, a half hour earlier. You already can't take a haircut? You have 7 hours to 6 hours to daven mincha. What's the big deal? It just seems unreasonable. Says the Gemara, Elo samach lemincha ketana. What it probably means is samach lemincha ketana. But the Gemara says, if that's the case, have a kasha. Because the Mishnah said, im ischilu e mafsikin. Now let's say you started, and it's already samach lemincha ketana, whether you started beheter, whether you started beisr. At that point, halach is in mafsikin. The Mishnah suggested maybe for kriish ma mafsikin. But everything else, the halacha is a mafsik. Certainly, to daven mincha. Freit the Gemara. Tehem tehav tuv. The Rebbe Shulman Levi. It would seem to be a tuv. The Rebbe Shulman Levi. The Rebbe Shulman Levi. Kibbutz shegiyas man tefilas mincha. Once it's the zman of mincha, ketano also la'adam shi'atam klum koydem she'yispal tefilas mincha. You're not even allowed to taste food until you daven mincha. And it's mavur that Rebbe Shulman Levi shita is that if you start, you have to stop. So you see clearly that Rebbe Shulman Levi said that samach lemincha ketano. The halacha is if you start, you have to stop. It's not clearly in the words that we just quoted from Bishul Balevi, but that is Rabbi Shul Balevi Shita. So, what's going on over here? Are we dealing with Samuch HaMincha Gedoyla? Just seems unreasonable. It seems cruel and unusual that you should have to stop everything that you're doing so early in the day because you're going to have to daven mincha. You have plenty of time to daven mincha. Ha'ikashos b'yoyim tuva, freik the Gemara. Elamai, we mean mincha ketana. The problem with saying that we mean mincha ketana is that it's going to come out, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, and Amoira is connected to the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says that if you started eim mafsikin, Rabbi Shua ben Levi shita clearly is that as it relates to mincha ketana, you do have to stop. Zok the Gemara, two terutz. Really, when the Mishnah says, lo yeshev adon lefnei asapar samach mincha means mincha gedoyla, this has nothing to do with Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Rabbi Shua ben Levi was talking about mincha ketana. Mincha ketana is later in the day. It's more chomer. The halach is if you start mafsikin. The Mishnah says if you start a mafsikin. What's the kasha? So early in the day, why are we saying that you have all these halachas? Ubetispiris ben la'asa. You're going to have to make a kimtis on what everything means. When the Mishnah says le'esh aluf ne'asap, it doesn't mean for a regular haircut. If you're going for a 10-minute haircut, it's not a big deal. But we're making it a kimta. Hacham mayaskinon. If someone's sitting down to take a haircut like Ben Ala'asa. So who exactly was Ben Ala'asa? So Rashi says he was Rebbe, as a Rebbe Yehuda Nasi's Edom, and he spent a lot of money to get a very specific type of haircut. He wanted to have the hairstyle of the Kohen Gadol. So Rashi says we know very little about the haircut of the Kohen Gadol, but one of the things that we do know is that the Gemara says that it was Roisho Shalzeh, Betzad Ikore Shalzeh, Vadvarim Atikin, Ve'en Kamakoyme Laharich, exactly what this was. But the point is that it was a complex job to get that kind of haircut. It took a lot of time. And if somebody wants to do that, within a half hour of Mincha Gedoyla, it's already not okay. When we say you shouldn't go to the Merchitz, it means the Kula Milsa the Merchitz. It means you go for, you're not just going to the Merchitz, you're going for everything. You're going for the Schwitz, etc., etc. So that already could take a long time. That's what it says. So that's already awesome. Laborsiki, when it says you shouldn't go to the Borsiki, it means Laborsiki Gedoyla. It doesn't mean a small tannery. It means a very large one. Over there, there's a lot of hides. You can get very busy there, and you can forget the daven. V'loy lecha, when it says v'loy lecha, it means a suda gedoyla. It means a suda gedoyla. Taisa says a suda smitzvah. V'loy ladin, and when it says v'loy ladin, it meant betchilazin, to start looking into a shayla, meaning if you're in the middle of a shayla already, it's not going to take so much time. Maybe that wouldn't be an issue. The bottom line is, when the Mishnah says, Tzomach Mincha means Mincha Gedoyla, Mincha Gedoyla, you can't do all these things. The Teretz says, no, we're talking about things that really take a long time. Being that take a long time, that's why it's not okay. Really? We're talking about, again, Mincha Gedoyla. That's why it's not a kash from Bishul Malevi. Bishul Malevi was talking about Mincha Katana. We're talking about Mincha Gedoyla. The question is, these things so early should be a problem. So the first Teretz of the Gemara says, no, you're right. To go for a regular haircut, Samuch Mincha Gedoyla is not an issue. We're talking about the haircut of Ben Ella Asa. To go to a Merchitz, it shouldn't be. It's not a problem. But Lekula Milsa the Merchitz, that already would be an issue. Rabbi Achav Yaakov says, no, really, the Mishnah is meant to be taken literally. Mincha Gedoyla, and the Oilam Betispiris Didot. Look at Chila Maila Yeshev, so why is it a problem? Because there you're afraid, Shem Yeshavir Azog. Maybe the barber, his scissor is going to break, and he's going to have to find another scissor. And by the time you're done, you're going to end up spending a whole afternoon there, and you're going to fapas Tfilas HaMincha. But Leila Merchitz, when it says Leila Merchitz, it means Lazia Baalma. You're just going there to schwitz a little bit. So look at Chila Mailoi, Zeru Shem Yisalfa. We're afraid that you might chalish in the Merchitz. So if that happens, it's a problem. V'loi v'borsiki, you shouldn't go to the borsiki. It means even liyuni bi'alma. It doesn't mean necessarily to a borsiki gedayla. So what's the big deal? Maybe you're going to see this is your parnasa. Something's not going so well. Something got ruined, and you're going to be torun, and you're going to end up not davri. V'loi lechol, it means a suda katano. Why look at chila ma'iloi d'mo asilim shuchi? Because we're afraid that you may sit down to have it's a small meal. You'll have one glass of wine, and then maybe you'll have another glass of wine. Remember b'lifnei amazon l'achir. By the time you're done, it could take a whole afternoon. Big man. The loyla din, when it says you shouldn't go to din, it means even big mardin doesn't have to mean necessarily. But you think you're going for the gmardin, but what happens if you find out that you made a mistake and then you're going to have to revisit the whole thing? The bottom line is, it says Rav Acher bar Yaakov, the Mishnah means mincha gedoyla. Why is it also to do these things already so early in the day? Because there's a chashash that even though at first glance it doesn't seem like what you're about to do is going to take a lot of time, but there's always a chashash that may take a lot of time. In other words, two terutzim in the Gemara. Both terutzim are accepting the same premise that lo yeshev adam samach lemincha means mincha gedoyla. The kasha is so much time in the day. Why are we being so machmer? So one of two terutzim. The first teretz of the Gemara is in a kimta where you're doing something that will physically take a lot of time, like taking the complex haircut of Ben Ala Asa, Rabbi Yudan Nasi Sonalo, or even though you don't think it's going to take a lot of time, but there's always a possibility that one thing will lead to another, and based on the chashashas that the Gemara mentioned, that's why it's going to be an issue, exhale. So just to speak out and end with one ha'ara, a lighter ha'ara, and that is that we're discussing a halacha of mincha. Mincha Gedoyla, Mincha Ketana, and a bunch of halachas that ensue from the fact that a Yid has an obligation to daven Mincha every day. We daven three times a day. Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'ariv. And because there's an obligation to daven Mincha during the day, you have a whole simon in Shulchan Aruch, or Chaim Simon Reish Lamed Beis, that comes from this Mishnah and the Gemaras that we're going to see tomorrow as well, that state that there's certain things that you're not allowed to do mincha time, even samach lemincha gedoyla, even though you have so much time, and that's because you have yiras daven mincha, and mincha is a very important tefillah. When we learned Masechtas Brachos, we mentioned that the Rishonim struggle to understand why is tefillas mincha called tefillas mincha, meaning we daven shachris, mincha, and ma'ariv. Shachris is called shachris because shachar means the morning. You daven shachris in the morning. Ma'ariv, that's Erev, i.e. Erev, i.e. Voike, that's evening. So you daven Ma'ariv at night in the evening. That's why it's called Tfilas Arvis, Tfilas Ma'ariv. But why is Mincha called Mincha? Now, you're going to tell me, what do you mean?
Mincha Ketana, Mincha Gedoyla. But no, the reason the Zmanim were called Mincha Ketana, Mincha Gedoyla is because that's when we daven Mincha. It's because the Tefillah is called Mincha that those Zmanim are known as Mincha Ketana and Mincha Gedoyla. There's no Zman called Mincha. There's a Zman called Boiker, Shachar, Erev, Laila. There's no Zman called Mincha. Mincha Ketana, Mincha Gedoyla got their respective names because that's the time when you daven Tefillah a Mincha. So the question begs itself, where does this word Mincha come from? What is Tefillah's Mincha? Why is it called Mincha? Tosfos and Masechtos Pesachim and Perek Arvei Pesachim Daf Tov Zayin Amud Aleph asks this kasha. Ayin Shami struggles to understand why is the afternoon prayer known as Tefillas HaMincha, and hence you have Mincha Ketana, Mincha Gedoyla. The question is, what is exactly the source of Tefillas HaMincha? So we learned Masechtos Brachos, and we spoke this out also in the Akdama to Masechtos Menachos. So we mentioned that the Vilna Gaon in Shnois Eliyahu, he says it in Perek Tefillas HaShachar. That's when we spoke it out last time, and he says it right here on this Mishnah in Perek Yetzias HaShabbos. So that's why we're going to speak it out again. And that is that the Gemara says in Masechtos Brachos Daf Chavav Amidveis, Tefillos Keneged Tmidam Tikna. The reason we daven is Keneged what once upon a time with the carbon Talmud. So in the Beis HaMikdash there was a Talmud Shal Shachar, Keneged that we daven Shachris. In the Beis HaMikdash there was a Talmud Shal Bein Arbaim, Keneged that we daven Mincha. At night, once the sun set already, when you weren't allowed to do almost all the avoides, what you were allowed to do was daktara sevarim and daktara semurim. They would take the fats of all the karbanos that were brought during the day, included in that were the tamidim, and they would burn them all on the mizbeach. And keneged daktara that was done at night in the Beis HaMikdash, what we do is we daven ma'ir. Meaning, tfilas mincha is keneged the tamid shal bein rabbayim. Said the Vilna Gaon, which chelik of the tamid shal bein rabbayim does mincha correspond to? He said it corresponded to the Minchas Nesachim. Together with the carbon Talmud, there was a Mincha that was born. It was known as the Minchas Nesachim. So a Mincha is a type of carbon. But really, there were many, 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 many types of Karbonis Mincha. One of the Karbonis Mincha that were born in the Beis HaMikdash was a Minchas Nesachim, which was an add-on to a bigger carbon. So the Talmud was Shnei Kvasim, that's what it was. And together with the Kvasim, they would bring a Mincha, a little bit of soilus, whatever the Mincha was. They would bring it together. It was known as the Mincha Sasachim. Said the Vilna Gaon, Tfilas Mincha is Keneged the Talmud Shal Bein Arbaim. But you know which Chelik of the Talmud Shal Bein Arbaim? The Minchas Nesachim, the Mincha that came together with the Talmud Shal Bein Arbaim. How do I know that, says the Gaon? He says it's based on a Gemara Masechtos Brachos Daf Chof Tes Amid Beis. We're familiar already with all these Marim Makovas. Brachos Chof Tes Amid Beis, where the Gemara says that there was an idea of Yiro'uchem Shemesh. You're supposed to daven lechatchila together with the Shemesh. So we're all familiar with tefillas with Vasikin. What's Vasikin? They're people that they're very mak with the daven Shachris. You daven Shmein Esri together with the Netzach Hametz. Based on a pasuk, Yiro'uchem Hashemesh. You should daven together with the Shemesh. But just like there's an idea of Vasikin by Shachris, there's an idea of Vasikin by Mincha as well. Meaning you daven Shachris lechatchila when the sun rises, and you daven Mincha lechatchila when the sun sets. That's the mufcher, that's the lekatchila, the good time to daven mincha. Said the Goyen, which part of the Talmud Shal Bein Arbaim was brought in the Beis HaMikdash around the time that the sun set? It was the Minchas Nesachim. It was what was brought after the Talmud Shal Bein Arbaim. That's when they used to bring the Minchas Nesachim. It came after the Talmud. Meaning you're supposed to daven mincha at the last possible time. So what's the last chiluk of the Talmud Shal Bein Arbaim? It's the Minchas Nesachim. That means, even though the Gemara says in Brachos Chavav and it's quoted throughout Shas, that the tefillos are keneged the tamidim, but if you want to be a little bit more accurate, the tefillah of Shachris is keneged the haschola of the Talmud Shal Shachar. The tefillah of Mincha is keneged the gemar, the hashlomo of the Talmud Shal Bein Arbaim. What was the hashlomo of the Talmud Shal Bein Arbaim? It was a mincha. It was the Minchas Nesachim, says the Vilna Gaon. That's why the tefillah is called tefillas mincha. It's based on that gemara that it corresponds to the Talmud Shal Bein Arbaim. Which chelik of the Talmud Shal Bein Arbaim? The Minchas Nesachim? Because you daven mincha at the latest possible time. You roochim shemesh. I thought that's only by Shachris Vasikin. No, there's Vasikin by mincha too. That's a Gemara. Brachis chavtes on the base. But either way, it says the Gaon, that's why it's called mincha. Then the Gaon goes on to say that's why mincha is the ma'ula of all the tefillos. Eliyahu enena ela betefillos ha-mincha. He says it's based on the idea that the carbon mincha was the most chashiv of all the karbanos. It's the mincha of the ani. It's the only carbon the Gemara says in Menachos Kofeim and Beis, where it says Nefesh ki sakrev mikem v'advar matikin. This is Ray that we spoke about in the Hakdamot to Masechtos Menachos in Perek Tefillos HaShachar. Either way, that's the Vilna Gaon. But the ain Beis Medrash Beloy Chiddush, the Magen Avram in Arachayim Simin Reish Lamed Beis. That's Hilchas Tefillas Mincha. So the Magen Avram says that maybe you could say a different pshat, why it is that the tefillah of the afternoon is called tefillas mincha. And that's based on a Yerushalmi. So in the Gemara, Masechtas Brachos, the Gemara brings two pshatim in terms of the history of tefillah. Why it is we daven three times a day. One man d'amar says what we just said a few times, and that is it's keneged the tamin. Tamin shel shachar, the tamin shel bein habayim, and then the haktara that was done at night. There's another man d'amar that says that why do we daven three times a day? Because tefillah is avos tiknun. Avram was mesakin shachris, Yitzchak was mesakin mincha, and Yaakov was mesakin ma'ariv. Each one of the avos contributed one tefillah, and it's connected those three tefillahs that we daven. The Yerushalmi in Perek Tefillas HaShachar brings a shita from Rabbi Yossi. Omer Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, Lo yhukshe tefillas ha-mincha le-tamet shal ben arbaim. Mincha has nothing to do with the tamet shal ben arbaim. Elo, the k'toyres. The mincha is related to the k'toyres. Matam, what shaykhis? Where do you find the connection between mincha and k'toyres? So he said it's a pasuk at Tehillim. Tehillim kuf mem aleph. Tikoin tfilasi k'toyres lefanecha. Masas kapai minchas arev. K'toyres is called a mincha. And said, Rabbi Yossi, we daven mincha k'neged the k'toyres. Regardless, said the Magen Avraham. So according to Rabbi Yossi, that's brought down in this Yerushalmi, it's very geshmak. It's very geshmak why the tefillah is called mincha. Because really this tefillah had nothing to do with the Talmud Shal Bein Arbaim. It was related to the K'tiris. And you find that the K'tiris was called Mincha. Tikoin Tfilasi K'tiris Lefanecha Masas Kapai Minchas Arev. And being that it's related to the K'tiris, which is called Mincha, that's why the Tfilah is called Mincha. But regardless, it's very interesting. Shita Sa Yerushalmi, it's Rabbi Yossi Shita. Rabbi Yossi, that Nimuka Yimad. Rabbi Yossi says that the Mincha has nothing to do with the Talmud. Shachris is related to the Talmud. Shachris is related to the Talmud Shal Shachar. We don't have two Tfilas Kenegar, the two Tmidim. We have Shachris for the Talmud. What is Mincha related to the K'tiris? The K'tiris was also brought at the end of the day. So which was mincha time. So it was brought mincha time, and regardless, that's the reason, says the Magen Avraham, he brings us a Reish Lamed Beis, incidentally, Toisvus and Perek Tfilas HaShachar, Brochus Chavovam, and brings us Yerushalmi as well. You have a Yeshita, so Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi says that Tfilas HaMincha is not related to the Talmud Shal Bein Arbaim, but rather it's related to the K'toris. It's interesting that the Mechaber, it's actually the Ramah, in Aruchayim Simen Reish Lamed Dalet says, Yesh shekosfu shenoyagin loymer parshas tamid koydem ashrei shel tefilas hamincha. There's a minig that some people, they say the parsha of the Karban Tamid every day before, you say karbonis before mincha. Right, so the Ramah brings it. Yesh shekosfu shenoyagin loymer parshas tamid koydem ashrei shel tefilas hamincha. Why? Neged tamid shel bein rabbayim uminig yofu. Because you're about to daven mincha. And mincha is keneged the Talmud Shal Bein Arbayim. So it's like a nice thing. It's a minig yofa, says the Ramah. Yesh HaKosvu, that's how he starts it. He ends it, minig yofa. It's a nice custom to say the Talmud Shal Bein Arbayim. Why? Because it's symbolic of what you're about to do. Says the Vilna Gaon, that the Ramah said that this minig is very moving based on the Gemara that says that the tefillah of mincha is related to the Talmud Shal Bein Arbayim. But says the Gaon, it's even more geshmak like the Yerushalmi. Because at the end of the day, the Ramah's a little shver. If you're about to daven mincha, you're about to bring a Talmud Shal Bein Arbaim. Why do you have to say the parish of the Talmud Shal Bein Arbaim? You're going to say the parish of Talmud Shal Bein Arbaim when the Shalmu Parim Sfaseinu, like this, you'll have the Talmud, that's what I'm about to do. I'm about to daven mincha. So it says, the Yesha Kosvu, it's a minig yofa. That doesn't sound like more than a nice custom. It's a minig yofa. It says the Goyen, but I hold late to Yerushalmi, it's more geshmak. Because the Yerushalmi says it's the K'toyres. You know what was brought right before the K'toyres? The Talmud Shal Bein Arbaim. Meaning, when you're davening mincha, you're not bringing the Talmud Shal Bein Arbaim. When you daven mincha, you're bringing the k'toyres. The Talmud Shal Bein Arbaim was right before the k'toyres. The k'toyres was able to be brought after the Talmud because it wasn't a carbon. So it was the last. But the point is that being that the seder of the way the k'toyres was brought, it was Talmud Shal Bein Arbaim first, and then there was the k'toyres. So if that's the way it was brought, it actually makes a lot of. But Al-Koponim, this is an Irian halacha where the Vilna Gaon brings this shita, and that is that tfilas ha-mincha is related not to the Talmud Shal Bein Arbaim. Tfilas HaMincha is related to the K'toyres. The Goyim brings it to say that that's a geshmaka reason maybe for this minig of why you should say the parish of the Talmud Shal Bein Arbaim before you daven mincha. It's like this, you'll have the seder that you had in the Beis HaMikdash. First Talmud Shal Bein Arbaim and then the K'toyres. The Magen Avraham says with that you could understand why the tefillah is called tefillas mincha. Toisvus kash of Perek Avri Psachim. Why is the tefillah called tefillas mincha? We mentioned the Goyim several times. In Beis Medrash B'lai Chiddush, we have the Magen Avraham based on this Rabbi Yossi and Perek Tefillas HaShachar, that it's because the K'toyres is called Minchas Aref, and the tefillah of Mincha is related to the K'toyres. But the truth is that I was thinking like this. You find that all tefillahs are related to the Tamid, maybe the Ketores, but also the Gemara says that Avos Tiknon, right? Each one of the Avos contributed a tefillah. Avram was Masakin Shachris, Yitzchak was Masakin Mincha, and Yaakov was Masakin Ma'ariv. And even though the Gemara seems to bring it as two Mahalchim in tefillah, tefillahs, Avos Tiknon, tefillahs like a negative Tmidim, but really they seem to interchange. We'll see more about this tomorrow, but they seem to interchange in terms of the Rishonim and the Paiskim, and certainly in the Svarim HaKdoshim. You could hear a whole Shtikal Torah based on tefillahs related to the Avos. You could hear a whole Shtikal Torah based on the fact that tefillahs are related to the Tmidim. There seems to be, for sure, an Elu Ve'elu Divra Lekim Chayim in terms of understanding the history of tefillah. But for sure, in the Rambam there seems to be a little bit of a stira. But the bottom line is that Avram was Masakin Shacharitz, Yitzchak was Masakin Mincha, Yaakov was Masakin Ma'ariv. So it sounds like they each had an equal shear. They each had an equal shear as far as tefillah goes. Yet we know, Shteitin Svarim HaKdoshim, that Yitzchak was more related to tefillah than were Avram and then were Yaakov. It comes from a Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar says that Avram's midah was the midah of chesed. Yitzchak's midah was the midah of avodah. Yaakov's midah was the midah of Torah. The exact context of the Zohar is that the Mishnah says that the world stands on three pillars. There's the amud of chesed, there's the amud of avodah, and there's the amud of Torah. Says the Zohar that just like the world stands on these three pillars, the three avos were the pillars of Klal Yisrael. And each one of the avos corresponded to one of the three amudim. So Avram was the amud of chesed, Yitzchak was the amud of avodah, and Yaakov was the amud of Torah. Now what does avodah mean? Avodah is always tefillah. The Rambam says in Hilchas Tefillah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, there's a mitzvah saseh day rice to the davin, because it says, Va'avadetem es Hashem alekeichem. What is avodah? Avodah is tefillah. So avodah is always tefillah. Yitzchak's avodah is really the avodah tefillah. Now the truth is, all the avos contributed to tefillah. Avram Shachris, Yitzchak Mincha, and Yaakov Ma'ariv. Yet for some reason, Yitzchak, tefillah wasn't just something that he contributed, but it was his mahus. It's more related to the mahus of Yitzchak, is tefillah, than the other avos. Just to bring out this one point with a fascinating Chassam Sofer, and that is, the Chassam Sofer says that Yitzchak, the word Yitzchak is begematria 208. Rivka is begematria 307. So this is easier math than some of the Erevin math that we've been doing the last few days. 208, this you can actually do on the back of your envelope. 208 and 307 is 515, which is the gematria of tefillah. Tefillah is the gematria of 15. It says the Chassam Sofer, because Yitzchak and Rivka, they're the amudim of tefillah. It's not just Yitzchak, it's Yitzchak together with Rivka. Yitzchak, Rivka are the amudim of tefillah. Veschanon, says the Chassam Sofer, is also the gematria of 15. Kaminyan Veschanon, 515 tefillahs. But al kaponim, it's mavur that Yitzchak and Rivka, 208, 307, that's 515, they're more mekusher, they're more related to tefillah. The Gemara says, Eliyo loinena, ela betfilas ha-mincha. You see that there's something special. There's something special about mincha. So could be this is the pshat. Because mincha, what came from Yitzchak, whose whole mahus was tefillah, and this is the tefillah that he contributed. So whether it's a sibo or it's a simen, there seems to be some deeper connection between tefillah samincha and Yitzchak, who's the amud of tefillah. So if this came from the amud of tefillah, what does that mean? That means that in the world of tefillah, in echos, qualitatively, there's something more about mincha maybe than there is about other tefillahs. So that's a little above my pay grade. But just one ha'ara, and that is, I think this is a davar nifla, just to bring this all together and tie it in a little bit to Inyan HaDiyayma. So Yitzchak, which incidentally, a week ago, Inyan HaDiyayma was Purim. Today, unfortunately, Inyan HaDiyayma is the coronavirus. But just to tie it into Inyan HaDiyayma, and that is that Eliyo Leinena El Batilas HaMincha. Mincha is the most chashiv of all the tefillahs. Yitzchak Rivka, they shtaltzu mincha. Avram, tefillah was just like a prat. Shachris, Yaakov was a prat. Ma'ariv, Yitzchak, whose whole, he is the pillar of tefillah in the world, he gave us mincha, because mincha is on a different amount. What's the Bir Advar? So I was thinking, based on the Medrash Tanchuma that we spoke at so many times when we learned Seder Kachem, the Tanchuma says, as it's in Parshas Tetzaveh, and it says as follows, Omra Kodesh Baruch Hu, just one quote, Mikola karbonish atem akrivim, and chaviv alike k'tayrus. From all the karbonis that Klal Yisrael brings, there's nothing chaviv to me like the k'tayrus. Teida, shakala karbonis kulun mitzarchem shal Yisrael. All the karbonis that Klal Yisrael brings, it's for their own needs. Hachatas, ha'isabal chet, ha'asham, ha'oila, ha'shlamim, etc., etc. Avala k'tayrus eine baloya chet, v'loya alovim, v'loya alashan, ela la simcha, eka shemen u k'tayrus yisam achlev, chaviv k'tayrus afnei HaKadosh Baruch, hushari dovin nesavala ha'k'tayrus, etc., etc., etc. It's a long medrash tanchuma
ayin shom b'lishoynei hazav, one beautiful maimer chazal after another, that there's nothing more chavah by a Kaddish Baruch Hu than the Ketores. If that's the case, and Rabbi Yossi says in Yerushalmi in Perek Tvilas HaShachar, then mincha has nothing to do with the Talmud Shul Ben Arbayim. But you know what it's related to? It's related to the Ketores. It says the Vilna Gaon in Reish Lamedala, that's why you should say the Talmud Shul Ben Arbayim before you daven mincha, because that's the way it was born in the Beis HaMikdash. First they used to bring the Talmud Shul Ben Arbayim, and afterwards they would bring the Ketores. And when you daven mincha, what you're doing is you're being makta the Ketores. So it's beautiful. The reason mincha is so chashuv, Eliyahu and then all the tefillas haMincha, Adam Rishon, when his tefillah that he got kapara, that Rizal said after he ate from the Eitz HaDas was tefillas haMincha. Why? Because it's Ketores, and there's nothing more chavu by a Kaddish Baruch Hu than the Ketores. Omer Kaddish Baruch Hu, Mikol HaKarbonish Atem Akrivim. In chaviv alai k'ktayrus. When you daven mincha, you're bringing the k'tayrus. So if you're bringing k'tayrus, is it a chiddush that aliyol loy nana ela b'tfilas haMincha? Read this medrash tanchuma. Won't be a chiddush anymore. There's nothing like the k'tayrus. If there's nothing like the k'tayrus, there's nothing like mincha. It has to be that way because mincha is k'tayrus, and k'tayrus is there's nothing more chaviv by a kaddish baruch Hu than there is the k'tayrus. What does that have to do with inyana d'yayma? So in the last few days, the Olam was circulating a letter that Reb Kiviger wrote after the famous, the well-known or infamous pandemic that raged through Europe in 1831. So we've actually spoken a little bit about 1831. We've mentioned it as Tov Kuf Tzadik Aleph. Chassam Sofer was very sick in Tov Kuf Tzadik Aleph. He almost died. And we've spoken a little bit about that, online, offline. But regardless, there's a letter that Reb Kiviger wrote to one of his Talmidim, Rebbe Leo Gutmacher, and he was advising him how he should handle this pandemic, how he should handle the Magefa. And the reason it went viral is because Reb Kiviger seemed to be very progressive in terms of his understanding of how viruses spread and as far as social distancing and some of the other buzzwords that are going around now. You shouldn't have more than 15 people in the same area, how many times you should wash your hands. So it's there's a certain sensitivity that Reb Kiviger had to just making sure that a person's hygiene is taken care of during this very dangerous time, and it's progressive on some level. Regardless, that's why it went viral. But I found something else interesting, and that is Reb Kiviger in that letter. So he said like this: he said that after you daven, you should make sure that the Olam says Tehillim. And one of the things he said was V'loimar beboiker ube'erev acha parshas hatomid b'tzibur kol nusach parshas haktoris. That you should make sure the Olam should say in the morning and at night, in the afternoon, Shachris and Bein Arbaim, you should say the parish of Tektoiris, Atu Shektiru Vechulu, Veloimar Achakach Nusach Hariboin Hanitvas Bimamodes Beyoy Malav Achakhtoiris. So most of the letter that Reb Kiviger wrote is about washing your hands, how many times, exactly how you should do it. This is what Kiviger wrote. That was most of the letter, but it was very little, and I forget that, that's why this went viral. Pun intended. That was the whole point. But Reb Kiviger over there had a few hadrochis that he did give the Olam. One of the things was he said that you should say the parish of the Ketores. Acha the Tomit, which is the way you're supposed to do. But why did he say the parish of Ketores? What's the reason? Why did he emphasize that you should say the parish of Ketores? The Pasha, there's no Shiloh why he said the parish of Ketores. No, the reason he said parish of Ketores, said Rashi and parish of Korach. Because Rashi says that right after the story of Korach, what happened? After the story of Korach, Vayiloinu kol adas b'nei Yisrael mimachas al Moshe v'laharen. The Olam came running at Moshe and Aharon. They told him, Atem emitem es am Hashem. You killed the am Hashem. Why? Because what? You just killed the whole adas Korach. So what happened? So they all came with Tainus. So the Pasuk says, Vayoymer Moshe. So Hashem, here's what Klal Yisrael did. Vayidabesham al Moshe v'lem. Heroimu mitoich ha'idah azois. V'achalo oisem kiroga. It's over. It's over. And they fell. Moshe and Aharon both fell on the floor. What are they supposed to do now? I mean, you had that das kairach. One issue after another issue after another issue. Like, how many times could Moshe go back to Hashem and tell him, please forgive them? We read that this morning. At some point, it doesn't work anymore. Like, what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? Vayiplo apneim. Moshe Rabbeinu got up. Vayomer Moshe l'Aharon. He says, "I have an idea." He said, "Kachas amachta. Take a pen. V'sein oleh eish me'al amizbeach. V'sim k'toyres. V'hoylech mehera le'eda. V'chaper aleim ki yotza haketzav milifnei Hashem heichal anogav." He said, "We're going to bring k'toyres, and that's going to be the end of the whole story." Hashem didn't tell him to do it. Aharon didn't tell him to do it. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "I know exactly what you have to do." Vayikach Aharon kashadib Moshe. Vayoret al toichahol. V'hine heichal anogav ba'am. Vayamoid ben hamesim uben achayim. V'teyotza. Magefa. It was all over. Fake Rashi, how did Moshe Rabbeinu know this? Who told this to him? Says Rashi, it's a Gemara. It's a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Pei Tes Amud Aleph. Rozeh. You know who told this secret to Moshe Rabbeinu? Masalei Malach HaMavis. Kisha'ol Lerokia. The Gemara says that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to be Mekabel the Torah, the Malachim didn't want Moshe to take the Torah. He said, Mayu Lodisha Veinenu. What are you doing up here? So Moshe turns to Hashem, he says, I hear. Like, what am I supposed to do? So he told him, Achayiz Bechisei Kvoidi Vaneilam Tshuva. And Moshe Rabbeinu started having it out with the Malachim. It says, Anoichi Hashem Alekach Hashem Tzisich Ameres. Were you a Mitzrayim? Kabir Esavich HaVesimechot. Do you have a father? Do you have a mother? It says, like Sirchas. Do you have kinah that brings you their Ritzicha? And they were masking. And they let him take the Torah. Not just that. It says they all gave him Matonis. And then the Gemara says, even the Malach HaMavis gave Moshe Rabbeinu Matana. What was the Matana that the Malach HaMavis gave Moshe Rabbeinu? Rozeh Masal. He gave him some inside information. He said, if there's ever a situation where there's a Magefa and it seems out of control and you don't know how to control the Magefa, this is what you should do. You should bring the Ketoris. Shak Ketoris Oitzera Magefa. Moshe Rabbeinu had this card in his pocket. He knew this. He had heard this from the Malach HaMavis himself. And he said, this is the time to use it. And he used it, and the pasuk says, Vayamu bein ha-mesim u-bein ha-chayim v'ateyotzer ha-magev. It's poshut, this is Rabbi Kivega meant. Rabbi Kivega meant this. He meant this, Rashi and Chumash, it's a Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Daf Pei Tes Amud Aleph, that a Ketoris is a skula, but the truth is, the Ketoris is an amazing skula. How amazing is it? I mean, we know the Ketoris was also, Pita Maktoris is an amazing skula. Because not just the Ketoris, the Pita Maktoris itself. You find that, the Rama says, you shouldn't say Pita Maktoris every day. Right, the Rama says there's different minhagim. Nusach Sfad, they say Pita Maktaris. Nusach Ashkenaz, they don't say Pita Maktaris. It's based on the Rama. The Rama says not to say it. Why not? Because in Chisa Achis Mikol Samen Achai Misa. So you're afraid. What if you're sorry, you're tziparin, you're going to swallow one and you're going to leave out the chelban and Chai Misa. She says, don't do it. It's not worth it. Because it's not Kadesh. Shabbos, Yontif, Yeru, you're not in such a rush. So then it's fine. Then you could say it. But otherwise, you're not supposed to. You see how, what do you mean? Chisa Achis Mikol Samen Achai Misa. That's if you bring the Ketoris and you left out one of the Samen Marim Yichai Misa. If you said Pita Maktoris as you're wrapping your tefillin and you left out one of the Samen Marim Yichai Misa, Uneshalmu Parim Svaseinu is very, very powerful, specifically with the Ketoris. We spoke at the Noid Behuda many times. Someone asked the Noid Behuda in a tshuva. He said, why is it that before you say Pita Maktoris, you say Inka Lekeno, Inka. What does Inka Lekeno have to do with anything? He said, because Chazal said that the Ketoris was a school of Ashiros, which means that Pita Maktoris is a school of Ashiros. If you say Pita Maktoris the right way, you're going to become a Gvir. You know what happens if you become a Gvir? You're going to forget the Ebish. So before you say Pita Maktaris, you need a Musa Shmuz. Enka Lekeinu, Enka Dineinu. It's a tshuva in the Noid Behuda. The point is that Pita Maktaris, saying the parsha of the Ketoris, is very, very real. But now we know a little bit of the rest of the story. Mincha is related to the Ketoris. Mincha, Rabbi Yossi in the Yerushalmi Perek Dalo, the Goyim brings in Arichayim, Reish Lamedala. That's maybe why it's Chavah, but the point is, you see the power of the Ketoris. Incidentally, that Medrash Tanchuma, when it talks about how Chavah Mincha is, so one of the things it says is Re'ei Kam Chavah Aktoris, Sha'yidei Aktoris Netzra Magefa. He brings this whole Arichas over there. It's just some of the rest of the story. We're learning the Sugis of Mincha now. Shataka B, Ketoris, and it should be Vateyotra Samagefa.